As we draw to the end of the church calendar year, our readings focus on end times, the eschaton, the end of the world as we know it. The words of Isaiah and the words of Jesus and Luke have quite a different feel. The day of the Lord, as described by Isaiah, is a time of peace and tranquility, where all is well. The Lord God will create a new heaven and a new earth, where all creation is at peace. The description of the end time by Jesus, on the other hand, is not so pleasant. All creation will be in turmoil and not in peace. There will be wars and insurrections and great earthquakes and famines and plagues. And not only that, there will be betrayals, even within families, and persecutions. So much for the wolf and lamb feeding together, as Isaiah described. When the author of Luke was writing the words that we hear today, the destruction of the temple had already occurred. The description of future events was actually in the past. Christians were being persecuted, and families had been divided. What at first had been a sect within Judaism had now become a separate group called Christians. And division was not without hardships. Division is never without hardships. Were the events that the disciples were witnessing signs of the end of time? That was the question they asked. Should we expect this new heaven and new earth to come soon? And if so, what do we do? Jesus warned that there would be false prophets who would try to lead his followers astray. False prophets had been around for a very long time. Isaiah was no stranger to them. From the beginning, there were those who had claimed to be the one who was the mouthpiece of God. That still occurs. Every few years, we hear of those who rise up and claim to have special information from God. Unfortunately, we so often learn of these false prophets after they have led groups of their followers to their deaths. Folks like Jim Jones and the famous Kool-Aid, or the Branch Davidians of Waco, Texas, or Heaven's Gate in California. And Scripture doesn't give us hard and fast rules on how to single out the false prophets from the real ones. The way you'll know whether a prophet is legitimate or not is if the prophecy comes to fruition. That's not particularly helpful in the meantime, which is where we are right now. The meantime, not the end time. Or maybe we are at the end time. There are any number of folks who would tell you that we are certainly. There are earthquakes and volcanoes and hurricanes and wars and strife and violence. There are books and television shows and even bumper stickers that confirm various certainties about what will happen when the end comes. All of which presume that it will be very soon. Or at least during the lifetime of the driver who will no longer be driving if the rapture occurs. And I can't help but wonder why people throughout history have spent so much time and energy worrying about when the end will come. If you Google end of the world, you will find there are currently 220 different dates for the end of the world. Many have already come and gone. And here we are. In the meantime, the date that is looming now is December 21st of 2012, and I feel certain this prediction has something to do with the hidden code and the meaning of the numbering 12, 21, 12. But then why not 10, 01, 10? Early Christians were convinced that Jesus' return would occur at any minute, so much so that they questioned whether or not they should marry. Why do anything if life as we know it is going to cease to be in any minute? This caused a problem in Thessalonica. People had stopped working. They were sitting around idly waiting for the earth to stop turning. Paul had to remind them that sitting around idly was not the thing to do, even if the end of time was that very day. Do not be weary, Paul said, of doing what is right. I personally prefer Isaiah's description of the new heaven and earth, and I feel certain you do too. I like the idea of being persecuted. Even if Jesus or the Holy Spirit will give me words and wisdom that none of my opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. I prefer thinking of a future when wolves and lambs lie down together and folks on opposing sides of issues come together, if not in agreement, at least in recognition that each of us has a different and necessary piece of this puzzle of life. For some reason, though, we tend to gravitate to dire predictions more than predictions that offer hope. We seem to pay more attention to the loudest would-be prophets and those who quietly offer hope. Over the last 20 or so years, there have been ongoing predictions about the death of the church. We now are said to be living in a post-Christian world. The statistics that depict the health of a church, unfortunately, are numbers. And they show membership declining in the mainstream churches, of which the Episcopal Church is one. Megachurches, however, on the other hand, brag that their numbers are increasing. Obviously, or else they wouldn't be known as megachurches. Conversations are taking place all through the church, calling us to be open to looking at new ways of doing church, of taking a serious look at who we are and what it means to be the Episcopal Church. There are words of warning that unless we function differently, we will die. The end is near, we are told once again. Are these false prophets making these predictions? I don't know. Time will tell. There's also a voice in the wilderness that cries for us to be who we are, to keep our focus on the spread of the gospel, to love each other and the world, and keep being faithful to the call to follow Christ. Certainly we can grow in that. Maybe not in numbers, but in our relationship with God. My hunch is that if we keep the focus on Christ and remain faithful to the gospel, our numbers will grow too. But that's really not what is important. If we become idle and sit and wait for the end to come, the end will come in one way or another. I was recently privy to a story about a waiter. And I think gives us a good example to follow when we get caught up in gloom and doom, or even the divisions in our world and our church today. The waiter was sharing something with his friend that he had learned from his work. He said, "If you carry a hot cup of coffee across the room by the handle and stare down at the cup of coffee as you walk across the room, you will spill hot coffee all over yourself and your customer. But if you put several cups of hot coffee on a tray and lift the tray up to your shoulder and focus on where you are going, then you will arrive at your destination with the coffee in cups and serve your customer a full cup of hot coffee." If we look down or become idle, we will not reach our destination. If we keep our focus on Christ and on the gospel, we will arrive at our destination. Focus ahead.
Amen.